Lady walked into a bank in New York and asked for a loan. I feel out of center for some reason. She walks into this bank and asks for the loan officer, and she says to the loan officer, she says, "I would like to borrow $5,000. And he said, "Well, for the loan like that," he said, "we need some collateral." And she says, "Well, I have a Rolls Royce parked out on the street." And so they ran a background check, said, "I'll put the car up for collateral." And she gets the $5,000, and she's going to Europe on a two-week business trip. She gets back and she goes into the bank and pays back the $5,000 plus $15.21 in interest. And the banker says, "Well, we checked out a little bit further while you were gone and found out you were a multimillionaire. Why did you need to borrow $5,000? She says, "I can't park a car in New York for $15.21 for 2 weeks. I know it's not as funny as some of them. As a born-again Christian, as a Spirit-filled Christian, we should be unstoppable. There should be nothing that gets in the way of our pursuit of our destiny. And we should have the courage and the fortitude to go forward with what God has called us to do. And I say courage because it takes courage to walk this walk and to walk in this life today. We need to find courage to walk through the troubles that we face on a daily basis. We must be courageous enough to pursue the destiny that God has laid out before us. We ought to be able to stand up at any point, at any time, anywhere, and say, "This is my destiny. It's unique for Larry. This is what God has laid out for me." And you should be able to stand up and say, "This is my destiny. This is what God has laid out for me." But it takes courage to do that. It's certainly far less stressful to be mediocre. You know what? There's no reward for mediocrity. There is a reward for finding our destiny. Being courageous doesn't mean, and you know, that I'll never be afraid, I'll never be uncertain, I'll never question things. When I come to the fork in the road, we question, do I go left or do I go right? That's not going to change as we search out our destiny. But it takes courage, if we go down the wrong path, to pick up whatever we had and whatever we took down there, be our fears, our motives, our moves, or whatever it is, and turn around and go back and find the right course. It takes courage. So here are five ideas. Stay calm. We know that we're going to be attacked. If it's not someone in your family, it's someone you work with, someone you know, it's someone that thinks they're doing good by telling you what they think you ought to do. It'll also be Satan. I will guarantee you that will come along, and he will come along, and he will do you as much harm as he can. But we should never let anything deter us from what our path is, because we'll find a lot of drama in our lives. My niece's little girl, Kaylee, is probably 15 now. And I think I may have shared this, but she was a cheerleader in middle school and gave it up because she said there was too much drama. And you don't get any less drama as we go along. Stay calm, stay with the strategy. Sometimes we need to make adjustments. Adjustments are okay. But we have to continue to follow the path and follow the plan that God has laid out for us. Don't listen to the naysayers, the people that say, you can't do that. There's no way, you don't have the ability. How in the world do you think you could accomplish that? God didn't call you to do that. In fact, God probably didn't call you to do anything. Don't pay any attention to them. Understand who we're dealing with. How many of you have run into people in your life that can literally suck the breath and the blood out of you? We all have. We may know those people today. But you know what? You don't need them in your life. You need encouragers. You need people that will pick you up when you go down the wrong fork in the road and say, hey, let's go try this one together. We need to keep moving forward. There are people in there that want to interfere with our will. They want to destroy it because you're doing better than they're doing. And they're jealous. And what you're doing isn't what they would do anyway. But if you're successful, they don't want you to have the success, or they don't want you to have the freedom because it's working for you. And it's not working for them because they're satisfied with mediocrity. It takes courage to dump the people in your lives that are interfering with your life. It takes courage. But sometimes you just got to dump them and move on. Not everybody that starts out on a journey will finish it. Not everybody's committed. Some people are lazy. I thought about the words to the song that we just sang. I could just sit and wait for your goodness. Hope to feel something again. But the last verse of that says, you've called me higher and deeper. And that's just exactly what he's done. And that's just exactly what he's doing. Not every choice, I got an illustration here. Not every choice that you make is part of your destiny. It makes no difference what kind of car you drive, unless you're retired from Ford. It makes no difference what color it is. Doesn't make any difference if it's an SUV. Doesn't make any difference what color socks you wear. It's just not important. That's not part of our destiny. By the way, they're purple and black if you couldn't see them. That's not part of our destiny. That doesn't make any difference. But there are decisions that we make that are critical to it. And those decisions have a price that we have to pay. I said it takes courage to ignore some of those people like mom and dad if they're not giving you the right advice, if that's not part of what God's destiny is. I've shared this with you before, but my mother, I pastored a church before and left the ministry not by my own choice and went to work for an insurance company. My mother said, what do you want to do that for? You don't really understand. I don't have a choice. And then moved to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. What do you want to do that for? Moved back to St. Louis. Why do you want to move to St. Louis? You got a great job in Oklahoma. Well, I did. Fantastic job. But each step was part of the destiny. And as I look at it, it was a step in the destiny to where I am today. And you go, well, how could that be? It's just the way that God lays it out, and that's what his plan was. Putting great decisions in your mind and in your heart, it might recall for some change. Really doesn't make any difference if you've got 50 years left, like most of us, or you got 5 years left. It does. It doesn't really make any difference. What It's what we do with those 5 years or those 50 years that's important. Am I going to sit and hope it happens? Am I going to sit and wait? We may reach one destiny. We may reach a financial destiny and think to the Lord, well, what's next? And he might look at you and say, well, what about your spiritual destiny? Have you reached that yet? That's a destiny we'll not reach until we leave this life and go to His. Destiny requires us to stretch. It requires us to do a lot of things that we really are not comfortable with. But what's our destiny as a church? You know, we talk about individual destiny, but what's our destiny as a church? And I touched on it a little bit last week when I was talking about the verse from Romans 4:17. And it talks about the promise that God made to Abraham when Abraham had nothing but faith. It may have been the only Old Testament, I'm going to use the term character, that had faith. But when God said, I'm going to make you the father of nations, make you the father of many people, I'm sure he was wondering really what's going on, because he was creating something new out of nothing. 100-year-old man, probably a 95-year-old woman. And we talked about Mark 11:22-24 when God says, speak to the mountain. I can speak to God all the time, but we have, as we said, the mind of Christ within us, and so that's what he wants us to do. But that verse, a little bit further along, he said, have God's faith. Sometimes we need to reach out and use somebody else's faith. There are times that our faith is weak. There's times our hope is weak. There's times that we've got blinders on our eyes and we can't see what's out there. And so we have to use God's faith. And the Greek meaning for that is have the God kind of faith, or use God's kind of faith. And I think there's an interesting story that I want to share with you in a couple minutes about this. But if he's saying, use my faith, make no mistake, I think that's just exactly what he meant. Speak those words if there's something that you need in your life. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if there's something you want in your life. What do you mean by that? The Bible says God will supply all of our needs. You may want a relationship restored. There may be issue with your children, and you want this fixed. It needs to be fixed. I understand that. But you want it changed. You want relational changes made in our lives. I want a different job. I want to do something different. I don't. But others might be saying that, and you may know people. Your kids may be saying the same thing. I want to do something different. Well, there is such a thing as positive direction and encouragement and teaching them to search out the desires of their heart. And that's the way that we help people. That's what he's talking about here. We may think all that stuff. I may sit here and think, all I want that, I'm going to use Henry as an illustration, that Henry's going to be okay. But until we speak the word, it ain't going to happen. Well, how do you say that, and why do you say that? Well, he says, whosoever will say to the mountain. Whosoever says to the mountain. It takes courage. It takes fortitude. It takes guts. stand up and say that. But that's what he said. I didn't say it. I just quoted it because it's pretty good stuff. Kenneth Hagin, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him or read of him, but he's a great faith teacher. And he said these things. He said, to one, believing. The first thing you have to do is believe. Then he says, once you believe, you must speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13 makes it clear. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, and also believe, therefore we speak. We believe and we speak. We believe and we speak. Because I chose to say, I will live by faith. And that's why it happens. Repeatedly, over and over and over in the Bible, he says that. He says that we must confess and we must speak forth what happened. Yet even when we are forgiven, and even when God has forgiven us, and we share that with someone else, we are speaking about the change in our lives and the fact that He has forgiven us. There's a story about the Roman centurion in the Bible. And he talks about one of his servants being sick. Matthew 8:8 says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That centurion understood that he did not have a covenant. He did not have a covenant relationship with God. He knew that. But he knew Jesus did. And so what he says to him out of faith is, if you only speak the word. And verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. Well, what's he saying? He's saying that this Roman centurion, out of covenant relationship with God, had a greater amount of faith than the nation of Israel who was in covenant with him. So when we're in covenant with him, which is what we are when we're in relationship with him, then we speak forth that word. And what he's saying there, and I think this is so interesting, said the Greek word when they talk about salvation, it says, the word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. It says, confess with your mouth. And there's a Greek translation here. The word salvation used in this means saved. Get this. Healed. Made whole. Spirit, body, soul, financially, and social. That's what salvation did. It didn't just take care of one thing. It's complete restoration. Total restoration. What the centurion understood was that there is a principle of speaking. And you know, and I had this conversation, I think Wayne and I were talking the other day, and I was talking about an individual that I know is the most negative person in the world. And I have shared this illustration with you that if there's a cloud in the sky, it's going to rain on him. And I believe there's a cloud in the sky, it's going to rain on him. Because as I said, it's not going to rain on me. By the way, it's not going to rain on your dad's reunion. It might rain up to it. We don't want rain on it. But we talk about what we say, and it's so important. James 3:16 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So it is, the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature." And it is set on fire, on the fire of hell. That phrase, setteth on fire the course of nature, in its original Greek means, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I looked this stuff up, but it says, sets in motion the cycle of natural events. So when we say something, what we do is we set in motion for something to happen. And a lot of times, and I've heard this phrase, you know, and I've used it before as an illustration, I'm scared to death. Fortunately, as soon as that's said, a lot of people don't die or we'd be burying a lot of Christians. But what it does is it sets in motion an opportunity for Satan to set that course of events in our lives, that he does what he can to shorten it, to take it away, to defile what God has in our lives. Confessing brings faith. And we may have to confess it over and over and over. But faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You will believe it more when you hear yourself say it than you will when I say it. How can that be? Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And so we need to hear it over and over and over until we get it down in our heart. Until we get it there. So what we need to do is we need to find those scriptures in the Bible that talk about healing. And I got them. If you want them, I'll send them to you. But if you're sick, get those down in your spirit over and over and over again. But it takes courage to do that. And it takes courage to say, I am healed. My knee feels better today than it's felt in a long time. But I see it as strengthened muscles and not sore muscles. That's what I see it as. If it's relationship, find verses in the Bible. And I've got a Strong's Concordant that's that thick that'll find every verse in the Bible about relationships. And if you want to borrow it, borrow it. But find them and read them. And read them over and over and over again. If you have a problem with finances, anything, that's what he's saying to us, is get these verses down in our spirit. Get them down in our heart to where we know that we have that promise that he's given to us. And then we will be able to say, as Paul said in the Romans, that he brings the dead back to life again, who creates new things out of old, who allows us to see things as they are not, but as they are. And that's what faith is. Faith is not hope sitting on your duff thinking it's going to come about. Faith is work. Because it says, I will walk in faith. It doesn't say, I will sit in faith. I will walk in faith. I will move in faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that as a Christian, we can be unstoppable. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can get in the way if we have the courage to walk in faith. And that's the key. And you give us that faith, you give us that courage. And so, Father, we accept it. I accept it on my behalf. Father, I accept it on behalf of Ross Community Church and pray that each and every person here is accepting it through faith Father, we thank you again for this day. What a joy to be in your house. What a joy to fellowship with your people. Father, I just ask that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.